Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Lady Lions on a 6-1 run to end the game, and they're going to advance. Woo. They will beat Minnesota 72-67, and we'll get Michigan tomorrow at 3 in Minneapolis. Great win for them today. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties, fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and a fabulous service department with great technicians that, for the life of the vehicle, back all this up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Orioles and Pirates yesterday agreed to play the bottom of the ninth inning, and the umpires weren't on board with it. Joe Block with the call on the Pirates TV network.
Well, maybe the umpires will just go and cool off, and everything will be governed by itself. It is February. Brandon Hyde, the Orioles manager, saying, didn't we agree that the umpires have now departed to the clubhouses? Are you fine with just us umpiring? I mean, they do that in the simulated games, right? A team versus team, though.
All right, I'll be the umpire this inning.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to play the bottom of the ninth inning. We used to do it this way. What do you think?
No.
All right.
I tell you what, if you were tuning in right now from Pittsburgh, you might be a little bit confused.
This game that doesn't count is already over. But they're going to agree to let Gomez pitch. If you remember back, in the old days, they used to not have a pitch clock. The umpires have left.
Some will say it was the best. No.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That is an easy look. I do have tremendous respect for officials. I do. All right? I do. I think you can tell I have a pretty good handle on the rules. Jack has a really good handle on the rules. Dick Girardi has an outstanding handle on the rules. So, on the rules and so forth. But that doesn't mean I'm going to go down there and officiate. I mean, I'm made to announce. Coaches are made to coach. Players are made to play. And there are people officiating. My biggest problem with officials on the college basketball level. All right, so let's take the baseball umpires. All right. They're all fine right now. They're all working just within a confined area. You know, and normally when they do a series, it's a three-game series, and okay, you're in the same city all 3 days. But my problem with college basketball officials is simple. You're doing too many games in too many different cities all over the country. And I talked about this the other day about one of the calls that was made in the Penn State game. So there have been a couple calls in the Penn State game. One was a jumper by Kisei Tominaga of Nebraska. When it was a three-point game, he went up to take a deep three-pointer, like maybe, I don't know, 25, 30-foot three, and the ball just slipped out of his hands. Caught it, came down on the floor, so now it's traveling, and then he shot it and he made it. And the whole place is going crazy. Well, it was a travel. The official looks at it and says, he tipped it. Talk about the defender. And Dick and I are looking at each other like, what is he talking about? Because we were courtside. And then we look over at Kevin Kugler and Sean Morris, and they're looking at us like, what the heck was that? Like, the four of us are all looking at each other like, what was that? And again, I'm not using any names here. Okay. Same officials working in the Jordan Center the other night. Right? Pickett gets the ball on the baseline. Ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, right? So in other words, he bumped. And you know what? You look at the tape, guess what? He didn't lose his pivot foot. Call for traveling. Like, same official. In back of the play. Doesn't have a good angle on it. Guessed. Same thing. Dredd gets pushed by two hands from behind. Gets pushed into Simpson, who had a really nice game for Rutgers. Got pushed into him. Right? Two hands from behind. Boom. Pushed. That's why Dredd ended up on the floor. He ended up rolling into Simpson. Fouls on Dredd. Fouls on Dredd. What are you talking about? Right? That official worked in Corvallis, Oregon the night before. He had the 7 p.m. Pacific Coast time game, 10 p.m. Eastern time in Corvallis, Oregon, and got himself to Penn State to do the game at 6:30 Eastern time on Sunday. You're telling me that guy is fresh and ready to go? That is my rub when it comes to officials. Simple as that, okay? I mean, that's my rub. Right there, pure and simple. All right? Not about the quality of it, the integrity of it, none of it. I'm talking about with college basketball officials, okay, the fatigue of it. Should not be allowed to officiate that game in State College after being in Corvallis the night before. And so that's all my. So you're talking about umpires, okay? Are coaches going to make mistakes or managers make mistakes? Yes. Are players going to make mistakes? Yes. Are announcers going to make mistakes? Yes, we do. And are officials going to make mistakes? Yes. But my complaint about college basketball officials is that I feel the cause of some mistakes happen to be fatigue at this time of the year. These are not 18 to 23-year-old young men and women officiating games with the stamina of running up and down, and who knows how many miles they put in during the course of a night. I give them credit for being in great shape to begin with. But you can't keep traveling like that. I mean, that same official had been at Clemson, South Carolina. Clemson, South Carolina, the day before. Which meant he'd have to drive to Spartanburg, probably catch a flight from Spartanburg either to, Atlanta, Dulles, Chicago. Maybe Spartanburg to Chicago. Then into Lincoln. Corvallis, you got to drive probably or hire a driver that takes you to Portland. Maybe you got to go to SeaTac. I don't know, but I'd guess Portland. Can you get a flight, a red eye from Portland to Chicago? I don't know. Or something that gets you into Pittsburgh and then drive up? I don't know. You sit there and go, that's okay. That's not right. That part is not right. And that's the one element of officiating I'm uncomfortable with. Football's week to week. Okay. They'll make mistakes, but football's week to week. And then they allow this pro team to just, like, push everybody from behind. Like, what are we doing? We need to change the rules.
This actually reminds me, we had a listener ask, I'm not sure if we ever answered the question, about the compensation for NCAA officials during basketball season because they signed up for so many games. I don't know if you can...
$2,500.
Per game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus per diem and other expenses. So you're talking about this official I'm referring to. It was at 90 games, so I mean he'll get to 100. So that's $250,000 for 5 months of work.
Yeah, that's so not bad.
No, that's. I mean, now, can I preface that by saying this? Can you blame them for working as many games as they can?
Of course
not. No, I mean,
now that I know the numbers, of course not.
I mean, I don't blame them for trying to work as many games as possible. Absolutely not. But I think you've got to figure out a way. I don't care whether it's to double the compensation to make up for it, which, in my opinion, with the new TV contracts, the Big Ten has some income that they can go in that direction. That would say, hey, look, you work for us. Okay? That's it. You work for us. All right? And, you know, we'll let you work another conference if you want, but you can't work consecutive days. Okay.
I think that'd be reasonable.
You know, in other words, we'll give you exponentially more money per game to work the Big Ten. We will let you then do another conference if you want, but you can't work consecutive days. There must be a travel day in between built in when you do that. Something. I mean, you've got to be able to take care of something like that. Because you'll get to the NCAA tournament, and I pointed this out several times. I mean, I'm just now, you know, I'm repeating myself when it comes to the point, but I'll make it again just for those who may not have heard it before. But you know, the NCAA tournament does get the best officials because they've been graded out as the best. I got all that, okay. But what happens when they go to a tournament site? I've got a game on Thursday. I probably get to the tournament site on probably Tuesday. What do I do Tuesday night? Sleep. What do I do Wednesday night? Heading into Thursday. Sleep. Then I do my game. And guess what? When the game's over, I go back to the hotel because I don't have anywhere else to go. And I sleep. And then Friday's an off day. And guess what? I'm still in the same city. I don't have to leave because, you know, the officials, you know, they don't change them up from city to city in the NCAAs. If you grade out well, you get the next round. And guess what? Saturday, I got a game. So now I am well rested for all these games I'm doing. It does make a difference. Now, are there still mistakes? Yeah, look, mistakes are made. I got that. But we all, I mean, all of us that are involved in every single game make mistakes. Right? Now, theirs are more magnified because they're officiating mistakes. But players make mistakes, coaches make mistakes, officials make mistakes, clock operator makes mistakes, announcers make mistakes, very few. And, you know, we go from there. It is a human element in there. But it's the part that's becoming bothersome is, like, they need rest. You know, and then, yeah, and they got, you know, thing. You're trying to be a football official, and you got one team trying to cheat all the time on fourth and one. You know, the NFL has to legislate the cheating. And, you know.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Now, is the $2,500 for all conferences, or is that just Big Ten?
Those are the SEC, ACC.
So Power Five, essentially.
Big Ten, yeah, Power Five. They're independent contractors.
Right.
And that's, you know, and that's what they are. And I think they have to change that where they set up contracts like, hey, look, we're going to give you, pick a number, okay? All right. So let's just pick a number, just round numbers. Hey, we're going to go from 2,500 to 5,000. But you cannot do it a Big Ten game if you work the night before someplace else. There always must be one day in between a Big Ten game before you do it, where you're off and you're traveling. I mean, that's That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that makes a lot of sense.
You know, the question is what. Again, I'm only throwing out numbers. Like, I'm just throwing out numbers here. Okay? So I don't know how it adds up, whether it's worthwhile. I don't know. I mean, I'm worthwhile for the officials I'm talking about. But, I do believe that something has to be done with it because there are too many mistakes being made right now that I think are in part related to fatigue. And it's just something to... And look, and it's happy. This isn't just Penn State games. Come on, I mean, there was a call the other day in the Penn State-Rutgers game where Penn State clearly got the break. And as you know, listening to the broadcast, what did I say? Penn State clearly got the break. Like, we'll tell you. When Penn State benefited, we'll tell you. Right? And it was a bad call against Rutgers. It was not a good call at all. Like, okay. You're just trying to keep those down to a minimum if you can. And don't guess. Do not guess. That's the part that drives me more often than not when they guess. Right? I saw the ball was tipped. No, you guessed it was tipped because, A, it wasn't. You want to know how close Seth Lundy was on the play to tipping the ball? 2 feet. Like, I'm talking 2 feet. It wasn't even close. Like, it was a definitive ad tip. And we were like, we're looking at each other like, what? You saw that? There's 14,000 people right now in the arena. Okay? 13,999 did not see what you saw. Okay? Now, the vast majority agreed with your call because it's the home arena, but they know that wasn't the right call. But I'm using those as examples. This is not me complaining about Penn State getting the short end of the stick. That's not what this is about. These are specific examples I brought up of, I think those are fatigue related because they're ones I've seen in front of me and can then make a commentary about it because I saw it with my own eyes and then other people see the same thing I did. How about that? That's why I use those examples. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. No umpires, bottom of the ninth inning. How about that? Now, I was talking to Corey Provis today. He's going to do the game tonight. He does the Twins. He's going down to spring training tomorrow to Fort Myers. And we're talking about the new rules in baseball. And, he said, I want to see it closely. He says, it seems on the surface they're pretty good. And I was telling him that somebody was complaining about the bottom of the ninth inning and the Braves and the Red Sox ended up in a 6-6 tie. And the Braves hitter was not in the box before 8 seconds was remaining. And the game ended because it was an automatic call, third strike, and the game ended in a 6-6 tie. People were like, oh, they're killing the game. I'm watching. Okay, again, whomever says that just flat out doesn't get it. Okay? Just flat out doesn't get it. You want to know why they called that? Do you want to know why? Simple. Right? This goes back to what I've talked about in college basketball, how I want passing, shooting, flow. Right? And I said, take the first 2 weeks always, and that's a foul, that's a foul, that's a foul, just so everybody now knows this is how we're calling the season. The reason they called that in that game was quite simple. So in a game that does not count, you now know what the rule is. Okay. Who was affected by him striking out? Nobody. Nobody was affected by it. Game didn't count. But now everybody has a better feel for the rule. That's why all this stuff, they're going to be really very exacting during spring training games so everybody gets used to how it's going to be played. That's the only reason you do it. It's not like trying to ruin the game. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, almost Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, fabulous service department, by the way, that backs it all up. Great technicians. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Tony Knapp's going to join us on the show Monday. We're going to go through what's going on with the Pac-12. We're going to talk about the college football playoff. We're going to talk about the NBA contract, which to me is the 10,000-pound animal in the room that people have to now, you've got to understand that people are now looking around saying, how do I want to allocate my resources because I really want to get the NBA? The NBA is going to have a lot of bidders. It's going to be up to them as to how they want to do it. But if you're sitting there and you're a TV network, what's your number one priority, getting the Pac-12 or getting the NBA? You know, we can sit here and we can rip the NBA all we want, right? Oh, we don't like the level of play. We don't like the load management, da-da-da. It is still an incredibly valuable property. And look, when you're bidding for the NBA, you're not bidding for the regular season. That's a means to an end. You're bidding on getting the playoffs. You're bidding to get a conference final. And you're bidding on the finals, with the finals being the plum and a conference final being an outstanding 1B. That's what you're bidding on. Then you're bidding on the rest of the playoffs. And then the last part is, look, the regular season, you're not getting great numbers for it. But the regular season is a means to an end. And that's what it is. Now you got the Pac-12. Okay. So what do you want with the Pac-12? And it's interesting. It's not, you know, part of it's about markets. A lot of it is about brands, and people want rivalries. Rivalries mean a lot. And college sports a little bit different. So even though, like, we all know that Michigan and Ohio State is the rivalry in the Big Ten, but Penn State plays Ohio State, that's considered to be a secondary rivalry game that's drawn a lot of interest. That's why you want to carry it. Alabama plays Auburn. You want to carry it. Georgia plays Florida in Jacksonville. You want to carry it. USC-UCLA play. You want to carry it. Notre Dame plays USC. You want to carry it. Oklahoma plays Texas. You want to carry it. Even in a year where they're not, you know, may not be great, you still want to carry it. People still want to watch it. So that's what makes college sports a little different than everybody else, because it's not just the market part, right? But it's also the rivalry part that is interesting and makes the bidding important. Again, when I get the chance to talk with Tony, there'll be a couple of questions I'll ask, so I'll preview what I want to talk to him about. Number one is, where is the Pac-12 with this? There have been some presidents in the Pac-12 saying they'd like to have something done by mid-March. I've now seen 2 to 3 weeks. The question is, who, how much, and whether it's yes or no. Which then brings us to the next part. Say it is no. Say Tony gives me the answer, it's no. Here's the follow-up question I'm going to ask him. There's been some talk by people when they talk from 30,000 feet about the Big Ten. Okay? That, boy, you really need it, like because of the travel in the Big Ten that USC and UCLA will have to go through, and it'll be a lot. But most of that's going to be, I mean, I'm always thinking about the Olympic sports. Because, I mean, you know, they're going to have to travel too. And people have said, you know, if you bring in Oregon, Washington, Cal, Stanford, Washington, you know, that'll make it easier for them out there. But here's the question I'm going to ask Tony. There's a question when I was out in Los Angeles, I posed to a couple of people, so I got a pretty good feel for the answer, but I want him to go with it, because Tony is really plugged in at both schools, is really plugged in with the Pac-12, and is really especially plugged in at USC. Do USC and UCLA want those schools in? I never hear anybody bring it up. I never hear anybody ask the question. Do they want those schools in? Or do they want the West all to themselves? Now, Tony may come on here and he may give the answer of, yeah, they would be making it a lot easier. They'd feel better about it. Or he may say, hey, look, no, we want the West all to ourselves. But I have heard nobody ask Mike Bone that. I have heard nobody ask Martin Jarman that. Nobody. Now, when I was out there, I talked to some people out there, connected with them about it. So I've got a pretty good feel as to what the answer is, but we'll let Tony answer it on Monday. Interesting times, though. Interesting times. You know, and then of course, Clemson and Florida State were complaining last week. Started with Florida State, went with the Clemson. Now, let's remember, what is the common denominator for Clemson's athletic director and Florida State's athletic director? What's their common denominator besides being ACC athletic directors? They're both new to the conference. Okay? So they weren't there when this arrangement was put together. They had an original contract with ESPN. They then renegotiated the deal in 2016, something like this. This is after Maryland left. And one of the drivers of that contract that they wanted and why they agreed to the length of the contract? You want to know why they agreed to the length of the contract? which, by the way, does have inquiry. They're not stuck at $36 million a year every single year. That's not... No, they actually will get increases as time goes. The problem that they have with the contract is simple. It's the length of it. And you want to know why it's as long as it is? What do you think, Matt? Why do you think that contract is as long as it is to 2036?
Well, as we talked about before earlier in the week, it gives ESPN, you know, that much flexibility to do other things. They don't have to worry about that entity. They can focus on other stuff.
That's part of it, but that's not the reason why. I mean, in the end, that's why they won't break it. The reason they won't break it in the end is like, yeah, really? Let's see. I got 15 signatures here. Well, it looks like one of them's yours. It's like, okay. No, you know what the presidents wanted in the ACC? They wanted the ACC network. Because they wanted all the other sports to be put on. I mean, that's an admirable thing to do. It is. It's an admirable thing to do. But now, because of that, you know, because remember, for ESPN to do this, you know, that means they have to put resources into it. There's a lot of elements where ESPN has to put some stuff in to make it work, you know, like they do with the SEC network. And you have to have that big entity to do it. Fox is the Big Ten network. And I think Fox owns, I think it's now 61% of BTN. They went from 51, I think maybe it's 62%. I think it's 62% now of BTN Fox owns and controls. And then the Big Ten owns the other 38, 39%, whatever that number is. But you need to have an entity like Fox to run it. You need an entity like ESPN to run the SEC network. You need an entity like ESPN to run the ACC network. That was always one of the major problems with the Pac-12 networks. One of the major problems with the Pac-12 networks over the years is they could not get an ESPN or a Fox to run it, so they ran it themselves, and they've had nothing but problems with it. Because, what does a network do? It's not just, hey, we have the studios, we set up the personnel, we get the trucks, things like that. You know, and then, of course, you know, we set up the programming, that's our area of expertise and so forth. But, I mean, the other element of it is just the overall organization of it. With people that do this on an everyday basis, that, you know, and you need that. Now, you may have, for example... Say Apple comes in and Apple ends up getting a streaming contract with the Pac-12. What they will be able to use is already the existing infrastructure of the Pac-12 networks. And they would have an opportunity to use that infrastructure. Because if you watch a Pac-12 game, for example, on the Pac-12 network, I don't know if you ever have, but they're well produced. There's no problem with it. The announcers are good. We've had Roxy Bernstein on the show and a couple of other people. So the announcers are good. The camera work is good. I mean, it's professionally done. But they've lost a lot of money on it because they don't have an entity backing it up like an ESPN or a Fox. They've never had that. And these are some of the issues that they're dealing with out there. And they're going to have to expand. That's why they've talked to San Diego State SMU, because they need the inventory that the networks need. There's just a lot going on here. And the original promise of thinking they were going to get $40 million a school, they might get $25 million a school. They're not going to get more than what the Big 12 got at 31.6, because there are limits as to what the networks want to do. And what is the big entity sitting out there? The NBA. NBC's not going to bid on the Pac-12. They're saving their bid for the NBA. Right? CBS wasn't going to bid. I don't know if CBS is bidding on the NBA or not. But, for example, Warner Brothers Discovery, Turner. Will they bid for it? No. They're trying to keep it on TNT. So they're not going to bid. Yeah, these are all the issues they're running into, because the original thought process was, this was the original thought process, and this was the Big Ten situation in the previous contract. Remember who went last was the Big Ten. And at that time, the Pac-12 was getting a 10-year deal. The ACC was getting a 10-year deal. And, of course, later on, they then kicked it into another gear with this deal to 2036. The Big 12 had a 10-year deal. The SEC had that huge deal with CBS. And all this money was going there. And we thought, okay, the Big Ten's going last. They're going to get a huge contract. And then as time was going and each of these contracts was being announced, suddenly you were starting to get the feeling that the Big Ten going last wasn't good. Like, what's left? And that's where Jim Delaney, this is where he made a stroke of genius in two areas. One, he got Fox involved. And two, he made it a 6-year deal, where that meant the Big Ten, after going last, suddenly in the next round went first. And what a difference that made. Sports hotter than ever. The only live program it's really worth a darn right now that's making a big difference. Top 75, of the top 100 shows, 75 of them are in the NFL. Top 100 shows, and not only are 75 in the NFL, but the top 194 sports. So people are going to bid on that because linear programming needs sports programming, because it's proven over time it delivers viewership, which, of course, is important to advertisers. All right. So they went last, and they got away with it because of the Fox element. Remember, ESPN has had a notorious... ESPN's relationship with the Big Ten has always been a tough one, because they've always tried to underbid the Big Ten. That's why BTN was created. They tried to underbid them again. Right? And Delaney said, fine, we'll start our own network. And the ESPN guys laughed at him. Like, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead. Then he started and went, they weren't laughing anymore, and the Big Ten got a 10-year deal. Now, the last time through, Fox ended up being the dominant bidder. ESPN did put together a great bid, and it was a 6-year deal. And they went from negotiating last, but going for a shorter duration, which then allowed them in this segment to go first. Okay? Now let's bring it full circle. Look who's going last and who's having trouble. The Pac-12. SEC was all set. Big Ten's all set. Big 12 jumped the line, all set. ACC was determined years ago. So who went last? Now the networks are looking around saying, well, geez, we've already put in all this money and all this other programming, and we've got a big kahuna over here that, we need to bid on, called the NBA. Now we're at the point where, yeah, we'll make a bid on it, but we're just trying to fit you in. That's the problem. Big problem. Now, if they can just get this push rule out of there, where just one team blatantly cheats.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Come on, you know it's cheating. If I could hear, Mark and Luke in the backyard, one pushes somebody else, and I could hear them like, Daddy, Luke's cheating. No, son, the Eagles do that.
So you admit, Daddy, the Eagles cheat?
Yes, I do. I never liked that rule. I never did. That's why when they changed the college football, because Jack and I have talked about it, it had nothing zero to do with the Eagles. We just never liked the rule. Like, you know, aren't you supposed to get it on your own? Because there's nothing about blocking and tackling on that play. You're just pushing somebody from behind. You're not blocking and tackling. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Jeez, I'd hate to take the single most important play out of the Eagles' playbook. They actually may have to, like, have to earn the first down.
It's all right. If they don't, if they take out of the rule, then we'll adjust.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding you, okay? I'm just kidding you. But in all honesty, I'd never have liked the rule.
Jalen Hurts will just lift more weights, and then he'll be good to go.
Yeah, okay. But I'm telling you, this is for everybody. Because, I mean, look, you know, I didn't really pay attention to the Eagles quarterback sneaking during the year when I was doing college football games. And Jack and I both said on the show we didn't like the rule. And it wasn't a rule that was hurting Penn State, by the way. Okay, can I point that out, too? This is not a rule that hurt or helped Penn State, either way. The two of us would be watching games on Friday night, and we'd be like, hey, come on. Really? Okay. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, so in the end, the Pac-12 might be able to pull this off, but instead of getting $31.7 million, which is what the Big 12's getting, might get into the 25 to 28 range. Is that enough to keep people? We'll find out. But they may not have a deal until the end of this month. And today's the first of the month. They had a 90-day exclusive negotiating period with ESPN and Fox, and it came and went. Just like this show today. Came and went. We'll talk to you tomorrow back in the Sunbury Motors studio, including another Matt Rant. Always a slice of gold. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.